Dina Diamond, Marketing Mondays, a very good morning. How are you?
Ah, fabulous. I've had my walk on the streets. I've engaged with the fresh air.
But doesn't it change your day when you do that?
It really does, I have to tell you. It just puts you in a good mood and makes you so appreciative. It's so beautiful early in the morning. It's quiet, except for the people who've now, their dogs haven't seen the road in a month. So
oh, gosh, yeah, they're the dog people always.
Mm. They are always the dog people. Mm. But I must tell you, it really is, it's refreshing. It's nice.
Did you wear a mask? In fact, don't answer that because obviously you wore a mask because you have to wear a mask.
But can I tell you I did because I got my special masks yesterday. So I had my mask. It's not my best walking with a mask. No.
You know what? I thought like I was, because I had my headphones, my earphones in my ears because I can't walk without music, and then my glasses, and then a mask over my nose and mouth. My glasses, of course, then immediately fog up from breathing too heavily with my mask on.
So
blocked out sound, blocked out vision, covered nose and mouth. I might as well have been, I don't know, in a vacuum. It wasn't easy.
Oh my God. Did you feel like you were on some sort of like army course or something?
Yeah, I did feel that. My other problem is that are you wearing a mask that ties behind your head or your ears?
So I've actually got both.
Right.
So I wore the ear ones this morning.
And do they not hurt your ears?
I'd like to have variety. Huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I need to have one that ties behind my head because I don't know.
No, I actually, so
well,
I'm
hurting your ears.
I'm tired of the one that goes behind my head. I want the one that goes behind the ears.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe the one that I got from Take A Lot is just too small because it like pulls my ears forward and it's really not pretty.
You may have got the children's size.
Oh, you know what? Maybe they did that. Because I don't know. I don't know. Then I keep thinking, I didn't know I had such big ears. It's really... So then I thought, well, maybe I need an elasticized one around my head. That I wouldn't mind.
But can I actually tell you something? I mean, those elastics are... it's quite stock standard, those elastics. So should you feel adventurous or handmaiden-ish, you can actually get elastic.
Where? Because I tried to encourage some people at home to get me, and they said, oh, no, you can't buy them during lockdown, which I thought was a very weak attempt to avoid helping me out on this. So where can you buy them, Dina Diamond, marketing expert?
You must be able to get it at Dis-Chem.
Yeah,
and Pick and Pay. You can definitely get those, like, it's like that sort of, I don't know, like that gummy elastic.
Yes,
you can
exactly.
Definitely get it.
And then all you need to do, you see, that's what I need. I can't, because I can't coordinate. I wasn't an OT child because there wasn't OT when we were kids, but I can't tie those little knots at the back of my head.
It sounds like you need help. You know what actually I thought was a good sort of reinvention of something to that you could use is an eye mask. You know, on the planes, you get those eye masks.
Very clever.
Guys, I'm telling you, try it at home. It's definitely, because, I mean, it's probably a little bit short or small, depending on the ones you have. But if you have an eye mask, it can double as a face mask.
Wow, that is very, very interesting.
Just for those who may have some lying around at home, just to let you know, it definitely can work.
Cliffy says, sorry to break it to you, but you do have big ears. I don't.
Do
I? Do I?
I got stopped in my tracks because I was like, no, he doesn't. And I'm like, oh,
maybe he does.
No, you actually don't.
Not unnaturally big ears. I can't.
No, they fit with your big head. That's the thing.
You've got an adult head.
I mean, it's not like they pick up Mnet or anything like that. Wow.
Funny.
Fits with my big head. Is that what you can say? All right. You know what? This conversation. Okay. So wait, before we even get on to the more serious topics, although this is quite serious, did you greet people? And do people greet you back?
I'm a greeter.
I know you're a greeter. You're like me in this way. We greet everybody. I greet the hell out of people. To the point that they think I'm creepy.
There were some people who were greeting and there were some that weren't. And the ones that who don't greet, I get offended by.
Me too.
I don't understand the rest of you guys that are greeting everybody because I'm just like, oh my gosh, you start with greeting and then what else are you going to do after that?
You're just going to greet.
It starts off very small.
We've all been in lockdown. We're all at home. Just be nice.
Just be civil.
It starts off very small. Like the first thing you're going to do is greet people and the next thing you're at a gathering of more than 50 people. It's just, honestly, it starts very
small. It's not in Yeah, exactly.
But I do have to tell you, when I go to like the shops, like I also am. I like to smile at people, and I like to let them know I'm smiling. So I, and even when I'm smiling now, I think, oh my God, I'm being an idiot because they can't see me smiling. But you're right. I think the eyes, you can definitely be smiling through the eyes.
But you know what, Dina? God gave us left hands and right hands. You just need to raise one of them. Just even slightly, just like, you know, just a little raise of that hand. Then they know that you're greeting. How difficult is that?
Yeah, I'm always angry.
Coordination-wise, we can manage that.
Brought on singing Muzzle and Brocha this morning. Did I hear that correctly? Did you play Muzzle?
Look, I did. I did because everybody is complaining. People are not in a good mood today, I'm finding, listeners-wise. They're complaining a lot. And they don't like my music. And then one listener, Benjamin DeVet, asked so nicely if I could play Muzzle and Brocha. And I thought, for him, I'm going to play it just because.
I think you've grown through this.
I haven't.
Howard. I think you
I have not. I have not grown. I have not matured. I have not stretched myself during this time. No. I'm just getting through it. That's, you know what? And I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah, I think you're going to be all right. I think you are. You too will survive.
Cliff says, stop being like a CNN reporter. I have not mentioned Trump once. I don't know what he's talking about.
You know, Cliff, I mean, what's he up to this morning, old Cliff?
Yeah, I don't know. Ilona says, I'm exactly the same. I greet everyone and get upset when they don't greet back.
It's like, you know, when you let someone in traffic and they don't acknowledge. Like they don't either like give you the hand or something. The lights or something. I get very upset. And you know, I actually don't realize how upset I get, but if I let someone in and they give you the hand or whatever, you're like, oh, I'm Yosha. But if they don't, then I'm upset. Mm.
So we were staying with some friends in Israel a couple of years ago in an apartment building where it was obviously a memo that you should greet anybody. It was a building inhabited by old miserable Americans who had come to live out their miserable years in this building. And
what country were you in?
It was in Israel. It was in Jerusalem I said to our kids, you know what, we are going on a greeting campaign. We are going to greet the hell out of this building. And we did. Anytime we were in the lift and somebody got in, we'd all say, good morning, Bogato, good morning. And I promise you, we scared the hell out of the residents because, you know, and of course we were never invited back there, but it's, time is 8:44. Karen M says, you've only given two options to greet. Raise your hand and smile with your eyes. I actually say hello. Yes, that's a simple one also. And probably quite effective.
Yes, I think that's quite a good one.
Yes, actually just say
Karen,
hello.
Karen, so logical.
Yes.
Thank you for bringing that back.
Way too logical for us this morning. All right, so Dina, some confusion around all of the different funds. So there's been money donated, there's been money lent, there's money that you can get back. Can you just give us a brief synopsis of what is available to South Africans?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I think first of all, we have to give kudos to the government because they really have come in. They did originally say that there would be some support, and then with Cyril's speech last week, they added, actually, I don't even know what week I'm talking about. It's all blurred. He came in with a whole bunch of new measures and a whole bunch of new support and new relief, which is amazing. But if you look at, just to start off with, are you with me? Sorry, I'm checking in here. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just if you look at like, so your basic, right? So you've got your UIF, so you've got your unemployment insurance fund. So that's for people who are who were employed and who are now no longer employed and they claim unemployment. So they get paid from that, right? But you're right. It's very confusing. You've got UIF, you've got TERS, you've got SAFT, you've got the Rupert's, and no one really knows what is going on, which banks are happening. You've got the 200 billion relief from government. So it is all like a big blur and people don't really know what's for individuals, what's for employers, and then how you even go about accessing it. So I think the first point of call, I mean, for the is for people who have been unemployed or actually made from COVID, is to claim UIF. Mm. But then there was also another scheme called TERS, which is a temporary employee relief scheme, and that was actually put into place to try and help actual employers with their to actually pay their staff. So the UIF goes directly to the employee, whereas the TERS goes to the employer to actually keep their staff employed or being paid.
And so that would be so that's to assist the employer. TERS.
Yes, but to pay the staff.
Yes, of course.
But
of
if
course.
You have already applied for UIF, you can't apply for TERS.
Sure.
So that's very important. Yes, that's a huge distinction because you can't say that you're now unemployed
because
you're asking to be employed. Yeah,
because TERS implies that you are employed, but your company is struggling cash flow wise perhaps to make those payments to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So, but the UIF can be approached to claim the benefits.
Right.
But if you do that, then you're not going to be eligible for the other
right.
one.
Okay.
So, I mean, people can choose to sort of lay off their staff or temporarily, tell them that your company is closed.
Right. Okay.
In which case they can apply.
And from what I'm hearing, speaking to a number of companies, this TERS is working extremely efficiently and is assisting companies and has been assisting companies from almost immediately after the announcement.
Yeah, so that does seem to be working because also people are like, again, didn't know how to apply, didn't know where to go. So you actually, they all have websites and they actually are seemingly quite efficient. And even the UIF, and you always think, you know, you pay all these things, but then when do you actually claim from it? And now we've seen as they say, the chickens come home to roost.
Right.
Because
exactly.
Now they are paying out MAP. But,
time is 8:48. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 Chai FM. Dina, is that perhaps a bit better?
It was good for me.
Oh, okay. Well, unfortunately, we just didn't hear anything. Okay, so and explain to us the whole Rupert helping system.
All right. So as I said, the Ruperts and the Oppenheimers have come in with their own funds and all of that. So I'll just tell you first. Let me tell you about the Oppenheimers first. So the first one is called SAFT, which is the South African Future Trust. And this was set up by Nikki and Jonathan Oppenheimer to extend direct financial support to employees of small, medium enterprises. But there were various criteria. Number one was that the turnover had to be less than 25 million rand per year.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be for people who were at risk of losing their jobs. And it was funded initially with a contribution of 1 billion rand. And the aim of that was obviously to mitigate any economic impact of the COVID-19 crisis. And the terms of this, because also the terms are quite important because you can't just say, okay, we're going to give you a loan, but actually then we won't have the money back in the short term. So the way they've actually structured it is that it's a 5-year interest-free loan, and then you actually have to sign an agreement to repay the amount granted. So
I just want to be clear on this because this is, I think, where there's a lot of confusion. People are saying, oh, it wasn't a donation, it was a loan. It actually, on their side of it, in order to put the money into the trust, was that a donation or a loan?
So they
because the
say
way I understand
it,
is they put money into this trust. The trust lends the money to the person who needs it for 5 years. But it doesn't mean that they pay the Oppenheimers back. It pays the trust back.
Yes, correct.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. So, and also, again, if you look at the cost of money, the fact that you're getting this as an interest-free loan is quite a substantial amount.
Absolutely.
Because they're using huge amounts of money on that interest. Because
if
you look at like a bank, for example, you would often – so people are now also talking about the bank holidays and like, is it really a holiday? I mean, there was actually a panel last night with Stephen Kossoff and Jacob Maria and a whole bunch of bankers and Colin Coleman. And they were saying, oh, well, should the banks be doing more? Or should the government be doing more? And even now this 200 billion that's been injected by the government, which we'll talk about as well, as an additional loan, how come they're not doing more? And thing is that things are giving what they're calling payment holidays. But when we look at what a payment holiday is, again, I think there's a lot of confusion on that. Payment holiday that the banks are giving right for a home loan. On that home loan, as you start paying it back, you're paying there's a capital portion and then there's an interest first portion.
Right.
And, earlier on it is in the loan life cycle, the higher the interest and the lower the capital.
Mm.
And then what they call, then there's something called the amortization curve. And as the loan actually matures, you land up, it actually reverses where the capital, increases and then the interest will reduce.
Right.
So therefore now what the banks are doing is giving a payment holiday on the capital portion, but then you still have to pay the interest. So if you are, like say you've got a 20-year mortgage or 20-year bond on your home, and say you've only taken it out 2 years ago, you will be still paying a high amount. But if you're already like 10 years down, then your amount will lessen, obviously, because of the fact that you're going to pay like less interest. So right. you have to know where you are sort of in the life cycle of your loan.
Right.
That makes a difference.
But with that being said,
this does offer like massive relief, especially to people who've got multiple businesses or multiple loans. Just to get that relief is huge. So, and it does make a substantial difference.
Right.
Getting back to, you asked me about the Rupert's.
Mm.
So the Rupert's themselves as well decided to, have this also 1 billion rand fund. And that was actually, that's managed by something that they call business partners, MD. And what they, so this is also initial interest free period where no repayment has to be made. That will just be for the first, I think it's 6 months.
Right.
But in terms of the take up on it, because I think this was a big, sort of misleading that no one really understood, because that in the first 3 days there were 10,000 applications and they literally had to close the process.
Wow.
So they offered 1 billion and the oversubscription was 2.8 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So that just gives you an idea of the need in terms of what's happening in the market.
Really, really frightening how people absolutely need it. Karen M says, I applied for UIF for the family char, my char and gardener who can't work. I applied at 3 p.m. and the money was in my account by 10 a.m. the next morning. I mean, that is unbelievably efficient.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, listen, it has been extremely efficient. You actually do have to give credit where credit is due. We don't like giving the government credit. We don't. As South Africans, we love to complain, we love to bitch, we love to moan. But where they do it right, they deserve the praise.
Absolutely.
And it really has worked.
And then there's a couple
I think the UIF has worked, the CHIRS has worked.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a couple of smaller, more private type of assistance, the Rambam Trust being one of them.
Yes. So I don't know if you also, there was another panel the other night that the Jewish Report ran where Hugh Reitland from the Rambam Trust, actually the amount of money that is available. I think what he said is that the kitty there's about 50 million rand.
Yeah. You know what? Unfortunately, Dina, we are going to have to leave it there. The line is really, really terrible. We will try and continue this conversation another time. It is